haven't preached in a while. I tell you, this thing is really wonky for a small head. Hey, Pastor Dan? I hope you have your Bibles with you. Open them to Luke chapter 16, please. And we're going to start reading at chapter 15. I think I might have said 16. I should have said 15. Verse 11, we're going to start reading there. So give you a moment to find that. It's the prodigal son. Pastor Dan preached on it not that long ago. And he said, when he preached on it, there's so much in this, he could preach on it again. And while I was preparing this, I saw yet another sermon in there, but I'm only going to preach one sermon today. We're running out of time, so. Let me just stay here till supper time. We'll order pizza. So starting at verse 11. And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the young son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to eat. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, but has come to life again. He was lost, and he's been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began to inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and he is not willing to go in. And his father came out and began imploring him. And he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. Lord, put your blessing on your word this morning. And Father, help us to receive what you would have to teach us about our hearts this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to address this prodigal son parable with looking at the three different hearts that are reflected. And as I go through the three different hearts, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Because I was looking at this, there's the heart of the prodigal, the heart of the self-righteous son, and there's the heart of the father that is revealed in this parable. The spoiler alert is this. You may think which one you are, oh, I've got the heart of God, or no, I've been a prodigal. I want to say this morning that every one of us, more than likely, at some point, has been all three of these, and that we need to really examine our hearts so that we would clean out the dross and make way for the heart of God. So the first one we're going to look at this morning is the heart of the prodigal. He took the father's wealth, which was an insult to begin with, and he went off with it. I don't know how many of you guys have ever had teenagers or been one. Hopefully some of you, pretty much everybody in the room now, I've got you all. All right. I remember when I was a teenager and I was 18, I was just, I'm out of here. That's it. As soon as I turn 18, I am leaving home. And I did just that, and I made a lot of mistakes, a lot. And the prodigal did pretty much that. He says, give me my money, and I am out of here. I'm so gone. And he was proud. He was rebellious. He was selfish. He didn't care one whit about how his father felt when he did that to him. Taking his inheritance before his father was dead is like saying, I wish you were dead. I don't want you in my life. And so he pushed his father out of his life. He took the money as if that was more important to him than his father. And he went to another land. Now, we know that that didn't work out very well for him. And he became bankrupt, not just more emotionally and financially, but spiritually bankrupt. He had lived a lascivious life, and he had nothing left, no friends. Nobody was giving him anything. So all the money that he spent and all the friends that he had when he was having a good party time were not there for him when the chips were down. So he's sitting there in his misery, and he's looking back over his life, and he's making a plan. He says, I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. He's at a change in attitude. He realizes that he is a sinner, that he's unworthy, and he's just happy just to be a servant to his father. He doesn't even feel worthy to be a son. So he's rehearsing this as he's getting ready to return, and he's planning to say this to his dad, and he's coming, and so he gets to his dad, and he begins his spiel. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And his father cuts him off right there. He doesn't even make him say, I'm going to be a servant. He says, you're a son. He says, get me the robe, get me the ring, get the sandals. And he receives him back as a son, not as a servant. The son never even got to that part of his speech. How beautiful is that? We see there's such a beautiful reception on the heart of the father. Now, we know that the other son got mad about this. The other son was angry with his father. And I want to just point something out. Luke 7:47 says, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. She's loved much because he who's forgiven little loves little. You know, when we're forgiven much, we love much. But I want to say to you this morning, young people, especially young people, listen. You don't have to have a horrible, sinful life to love the Father. You don't have to go down that path. It's a dangerous road. And sometimes when we hear stories like the prodigal son and people's testimony, how far away they got from the Lord and how miserable they were, and then finally they cried out to God and they found a real God there and they've loved him passionately ever since. You don't have to do that to love God. God doesn't change. You know, we consider the buns at a banquet. I don't know, some of you may not do this. I do this. I'm so guilty. I'm looking down the food line, and I see all these wonderful salads, and I know that if I take a bun, I won't have room for all those salads. So I don't take the bun, right? The bun is not important to me, and I cast the bun aside. But I'll tell you what, if I haven't eaten in a long time, and I see a bun, I want the bun. And the bun didn't change. My attitude changed. So when we look at the story of the prodigal son and we consider life, I want you to know that sin is dangerous. Sin has bondage. It is a snare. It will rob you of all that you have in your soul. It's dangerous. People who have been addicted to drugs will tell you, I never thought I'd be addicted to drugs. I never saw myself here. I never saw myself in this destructive cycle that for some people led to stealing and for some people even has led to murder. And those caught up in sexual immorality, when they peeked at that first little bit of pornography, they never imagined that they would find it so hard to not press that button on their computer. It's like something takes over them, and their mind is polluted even when they don't want it there. They will tell you that they never, ever imagined that that would be them when they just tasted a little bit of sin. But sin is there to destroy you. It is a hook that will draw you in and tear you to pieces and leave you bankrupt in every way imaginable, financially. It'll ruin your family. It will ruin your friendships. It will ruin your sense of self-identity and leave you feeling worthless, which is exactly where this man was. I am worthless. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And we're given this picture of this bankrupt emotionally and financially person. And Father, I've sinned. He has a turnaround. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I had struggled with a lot of different things. And when I came into the church, there was a lot of things I worried about. And I imagine when the prodigal was making that journey to see his father, there was a lot of things he was worried about. Would he be accepted? What would people think? Will he be able to stay in the home? And he was so ashamed of his behavior, I wonder if he was able to look everybody in the eye. You know, when people walk in here, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and they don't know what to expect. Are people going to judge me? What if a bad word slips out of my mouth? Oh my goodness, what if that happens? I don't look as nice as everybody else. I don't know the words to that song. I don't know all the scriptures. These people know stuff I don't even know. And these are things that new believers struggle with when they come. And we need to be more like the heart of the Father and make them feel part of the family. Amen. Everyone that comes to Christ has struggles. They've come here damaged. And we need to let that restoration process begin. And boy, what a wonderful journey. If you're here and you've been a believer for more than a day and you've had God do something in your life, say amen. Amen. It is the best journey when you come home to the Lord, the heart of the prodigal. Then there's the heart of the obedient son. I changed him. He's not the obedient son. He's self-righteous. He is not obedient, by the way. There's a lack of love on the part of the son. He's more in competition with his brother than in fellowship with his brother. And believers, don't judge. We can be there. We can be more in competition with each other or more about having our way than in having fellowship. Now, both sons showed a complete disregard for the heart of their father. The prodigal, when he left, was not interested in his father. All he wanted was his money. The obedient son, or the self-righteous son, was more interested in the threat that this new one came to his inheritance and a reward. He wanted his reward right now for his self-righteousness. You see, the prodigal wanted his money now. The obedient son, he wanted his reward now. I want recognition. I want that fatted calf. I want my friends to come and say, hey, look at me. So what is the difference between the two of those? They had no regard for what the heart of the father was. Neither one of them. The obedient son wanted justice. He wanted his brother punished. He wanted him banished. He showed no compassion whatsoever. Now, don't think that God is not about justice. Isaiah 61:8 said, I, the Lord, love justice. God loves justice. But he doesn't pay twice for a debt. If he paid for it, it's covered by him. The obedient son was blind, completely blind to his own sin. He had no idea that he himself was a horrible sinner. He had broken the very first command, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't care what his father thought, and he certainly didn't care about his brother. Two of the greatest commands, and he had completely cast them aside. He was so, you know, when you read what he says, you could think, yeah, why does the father have a problem with that? He's got a point there, like, doesn't he, huh? No, he doesn't, because he missed the heart of God. He missed the first and the greatest commandment and the second, which is like it. He completely missed it. And brothers and sisters in the Lord, we do it all the time. Every time we get mad at a brother or sister over something that is absolutely petty, we have missed the heart of God. I'm going to share, the person is here, and so, you know, if they feel like standing up and shouting amen, they can. There was a tragedy in town, and people were being mean, really, really mean about it. And this dear lady in the Lord came to me, and she, I don't think she planned on it, but tears sprung to her eyes, and she said, "Judy, I had to say, what was the heart of God in this? What was the heart of God? We sing that song in church, make my heart like yours, and make my heart hurt for the things of your hearts. I'm missing the words here. Show me how to love like you have loved me." And she said, that changed how I answered people. And she spoke up, and people shot her down for it, but she spoke up for the heart of God. And praise God for it, because the words that she spoke, I guarantee you, the words that she spoke ministered to the broken. The words of anger, the words of judgment, they would only tear that person down more when they're already on the floor, beaten down and broken. And people look at them and they judge. That is not the heart of God, and that is not the heart that the believers in Jesus Christ should be sending out. Someone is caught in a sinful lifestyle. Do we judge them when we look down on them, God will get justice? Or do we reveal the heart of God, and do we watch for them and wait for them to come like the Father did? You know, the prodigal son, when he was returning to the Father saw him a far way off, and some say he must have been watching for him. That's beautiful. But you notice that the father ran out to him too. That was undignified. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But I want to ask you, what if the father wasn't looking out that window? What if the brother, the obedient, self-righteous brother, was in the field and saw his other brother coming home and met him on the way? What do you think would have happened in this story? Do you think he would have sent him away? What are you doing here? You don't belong here anymore. Look what you've done. You've insulted the Father. You have no regard for what this family is all about. Why don't you just pack your dirty clothes, because you probably smelt like pig, and get out of here. See, we look at that and we go, oh, wouldn't that have been horrible? I know of a situation. It was just brought to my attention recently. Someone in here was telling me about her brother. She'd been praying and praying and praying, "Lord, get a hold of my brother, get a hold of my brother." And finally he went to a church where he lived. She didn't live in the same place. And he walked in the door, and the usher met him at the door, and the usher was a nice-looking gentleman in a suit. And he said, "Young man, we don't allow jeans in here. Why don't you just get on home, change into something nicer, and then come back?" Oh, he never went back. He never went back. It can happen. We send those messages in different ways, and it's sad and it's heartbreaking when a brother is offended. You know how the young son, or the disobedient son, referred to his father? It was very accusational, extremely accusational. You killed the fatted calf. You've overlooked all of his sin, and this son of yours. There was no love in his response to his father. Our relationship with God is based on love. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." It's no wonder. He was just as unloving and uncaring about his father as the prodigal. A great man of God, Reverend Ross Penoyer, he led us to the Lord. He said to us more than once, the hardest people to reach for the Lord are the self-righteous ones. The ones that can go on sinning and sinning and sinning, and it's just like they're blind to it. They don't see it. And so they don't need to change. And I'm going to suggest that all of us at some point in our walk, we can be that self-righteous brother. And our words can cut. And our words can be unkind. And we insult the very God we proclaim that we love by tearing down his church. And we can be so blind to the ugliness in our own hearts. David, you know how he prayed to make those secret faults known to him. Make me aware of them, God. Because if you're not aware of them, you'll just keep doing them over and over and over. He wanted to be known for his good works. Oh, you know, if you followed me around, and I'm thinking it's probably true with most of us, If we were followed around and scrutinized, our good works would very soon look like filthy rags. Amen? You see, the selfish son thought his good works were better than ever, and he wanted reward for that. Let your good works be that you glorify and love God in all things. You know, we can put our own agenda before what is wrong and think we're right and over a brother or a sister in the Lord. The heart of the prodigal, the heart of the self-righteous one, and I've been touching on it all the way through, but this is what God would call us to do. And by the way, God did not get angry with either one of these, or the father. Did you notice the father didn't get angry with either one? He ran out to the prodigal son. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It says in verse 28 and 29 that the father implored his son, verse 28. He implored him. You know what that means, implored? It's like he's begging him. Come on, love your brother. Be happy. He's not dead. He's here. Love him. He implored him, and he's begging with him as well as the Lord does. He just begs with us to get our life right with him and our heart right with him. That's the heart of God. He reached out to both of his sons. He wanted peace and reconciliation in his house. He took what the son thought was unworthy, and he made it special. He saw someone special, someone significant, when his lost son came home. And sometimes we feel so unworthy. And God says, no, 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 no. You're my son, you're my daughter, and you're worthy. You're special. We're going to have a party. And the Bible even says that there's a celebration in heaven every time a sinner comes home. And like I said earlier, he cast aside his dignity. And Jesus said he took on our shame. And he ran out to his son. We don't get the rest of the story. We're not told how the son grew in his home after he returned from being away, how that panned out. Did he get an inheritance? Didn't he? You know why? Because that's you. Are you going to stay home? Are you going to love your father? Are you going to get rewarded by your father? We don't know how the other son, the self-righteous son, responded. We're not told. The story ends right there with that last statement, to rejoice because your brother who's lost has been found. So we see the two stories, and we don't have the finish. Put yourself in the story and finish it with your life. Amen. The son was repentant. And you know, there was a point where he knew he was helpless. Romans 5, one of my favorites. It really spoke to me when I first became a believer. While we were helpless, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, he gave his life for us. While we were enemies, he still went to the cross for us. You know, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And there's times when our walk with God isn't as it should be. Sometimes we're in great pain. Sometimes it's really hard to worship God through all that pain. And God says a battered reed, he won't break off, and a smoldering wick, he won't put out. He will lead you on to victory, and he'll bring you into his family. Jesus said this when he started out his ministry. He went and he sat in the synagogue. Pretty bold, pretty wonderful. And he read the words from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who were downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And then the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on them. And he said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Reaching out to the poor, to those who are in bondage, to the downtrodden. That's the heart of God. That's why he came. And we need to try to have that same heart of God. You see somebody who is broken, you see somebody who is downtrodden, reach out to them. Don't look down your nose. Don't judge. Don't say they got themselves there by their lifestyle. Don't do that. I got to tell you something. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says this. I don't want his job. If I'm going to take a job, I want the job of representing my Father in heaven. Amen? Let's not do Satan's work for him. Just zip it and pray. Pray for God to get your heart. So we see the three hearts, the prodigal, the self-righteous son, and the heart of God. And this morning you might be feeling a bit like the prodigal. Maybe you're bankrupt emotionally or physically or spiritually. And you come here to see if God really does love you. And even though you feel an unworthy and a sinner, God wants to meet you here. Amen. Betty, I'm going to call you up to the piano. Surprise, surprise, yes. You may have the heart of the self-righteous son. Maybe you've been blinded to it. Maybe you didn't realize that that's what you were doing when you attacked the fellow brethren in the church, that you were actually attacking God's body, that you were attacking his kingdom. And now that your eyes are open and you want to repent of that, God wants to meet you here. He's imploring with you. Turn your heart. Turn your heart. That's the call of the Father. Maybe you're here and you have that heart of God. And you want what he desires for you. And you say, God, I want to have your heart. I would hope that that's everybody in this room this morning. So I want you just all to bow your heads. Like I said, we can be all three characters of this story at different times in our lives. And sometimes we need to make corrections in our heart so that we don't go astray. I want you to be encouraged. God wants to meet with you here this morning. I'm going to put this out there. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Judy, I'm the heart of the prodigal. I'm feeling bankrupt. I need God to reach out to me. I want him to come to me. I want to draw back to him. If that's you, can you slide your hand up in the air? I just want to pray with you wherever you are. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else before I move on that would say, I want to renew my love with Christ. I want to renew that relationship. Thank you. Thank you. Just going to have everyone, while Betty plays softly, just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I have sinned. And I know that I'm not worthy to be called your son or daughter. But please forgive me and come into my heart and establish yourself as king of my life. I surrender it to you. Now you might be here this morning and it's a little hard for you to maybe to raise your hand to this one. But maybe you have at some time or other been that prodigal. Maybe you weren't even aware that you were. I want to pray with you this morning because just as much as the prodigal, you need to restore your heart with God. And God wants you to. He's not going to punish you. He's not going to beat you up. He's going to treat you just like he did the other son. Love you, bless you, encourage you, and lead you. He's imploring you to turn that heart around. If you want that this morning, slide your hand in the air. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of hands. Praise you, God. Lord, I just pray over those who raised their hand this morning. And Lord, I pray that you will help them to have a heart that is so full of your love and so full of you that they would do anything for their brothers and sisters. They would love them as they love themselves. Those of you who would pray with me, can I get you to pray after me? Heavenly Father, I need your help to have my eyes open that when I speak, I glorify you. I encourage in you. Take away my own selfishness and fill me with your righteousness, that I would serve you with a pure heart. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song. Betty's playing Just As I Am, Just As I Am. What a wonderful morning we've had in the Lord. Pastor Dan is going to come and song lead that song.